your one-stop shop for the stories, secrets, and shenanigans of a popcorn-fueled theme park journalist. I'm Carly Wiesel, and I am recently back from my absolute whirlwind trip to Orlando. I flew there to go to Epic Universe. I, of course, went to Disney World because when I'm there, I gotta jam it all in. And I stayed at Caribe Royale, which you're about to hear all about because they actually sent me to Florida. More on that in a minute. It was absolutely wild, and I had the time of my life. But that's not the only thing I have to tell you about this episode, because at the start, I just need to let you know that over the weekend, okay, it is Gilmore Girls season. If you were on the internet, you know it is Gilmore Girls season. It is their 25th anniversary, which happened a few days ago, and I was lucky enough to be able to attend the Weekend in Stars Hollow event that Warner Brothers threw at the Grove, which is the famous Disneyland-esque mall in LA. They recreated Stars Hollow in the middle of the mall, and it was exceptional. I posted some stuff about it. It was wonderful, 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 but the reason I'm telling you about that is because, do you remember last year that I went on the studio tour where you go to Stars Hollow, the set of Stars Hollow, and they like bring it to life, and it was amazing? I did a little episode which was basically me screaming about how good it was for 10 minutes straight. I want to let you know from the jump, and we will get into theme parks in a moment, but if you are going to be in the Los Angeles area or will now be convinced to travel there, December 18th to January 4th, they did announce the dates. Those are the dates for the Holidays Made Here event at the Warner Brothers Studio Tour Hollywood. Now, you know, we did a big tour ranking episode, gosh, a year and a half ago at this point, a while ago, and Warner Brothers Studio Tour is so good. You know, if you've listened to that episode, we talk about it in depth. And now included in your ticket, this is not an ad, this is just a passion of mine, included in your ticket is a visit to Stars Hollow. They are apparently doing it bigger than ever before this year. I was told some stuff by someone at this event at the Grove, which I definitely should not know. I was kind of like, you're talking to a journalist, you're not supposed to tell me this, but it's going to be bigger, it's going to be more robust. It seems like there's going to be virtual queues for stuff inside, so you can like spend all day there and be able to see everything. If you are a Gilmore Girls fan, you have to go to this. It is so good. I'm going to go 4 to 5 times. That is how much I love it, and I want to let you know from the jump so that you can grab tickets before it possibly sells out. I'm going to get all my tickets this week. Again, those dates are December 18th to January 4th. It is included with admission. And basically, I think the approach is like, so this virtual queue thing was a tip I was told, which I didn't know about online. Nope, they haven't said anything about that yet, but some of the popular spaces will have virtual queues. So if you want to go on the studio tour earlier in the day, all studio tours end here. It's optional, but like you're going to want to go. If you go earlier in the day, you have obviously like the virtual queue, you'll have an earlier like return time. But if you go later, this place, it's sunset and at night, ooh, I think they have a tree lighting. Last year, like Lorelai and Rory's house was like lit up in lights. Go during the day, go during the night, and no matter what you do, you're going to have the time of your life. There's even like a tasting food pass this year. Anyway, I just wanted to let you know from the jump, if you are around those dates, get tickets now because it is going to be exceptional. Again, I'm just telling you as someone who went by myself and was like, this is the most magical thing I've ever done, and then stalked the website for additional tickets to go back last year, which I did. I made it back on the last day. So if you are a Gilmore Girls fan, this is Gilmore Girls week. We are in the week of their 25th. Check that out. But that's neither here nor there because we are talking about my Orlando trip and I cannot wait to tell you about it. My mom and I did so much wild stuff. You're going to hear about one of the best ride experiences I've ever had, something I've never done before, which was a blast. My mom's many reactions to Epic Universe, one of which you could not prepare yourself for no matter what you've done. My review of the hotel we stayed at, which shocker, it was great. Also, they have a whole Starbucks. We'll get into it. Stick around. I can't wait to bring you along on this trip. Oh, it was so much fun. All right, I'll see you on the other side. Welcome back. It has been an absolute blur of Uber rides and desserts and umbrellas and souvenir shops and schedules and photos and zebras, and I cannot wait to bring you into the fold on all of the shenanigans that were had this week. I could have taken these 2 days to like chill by the pool and hang out and take it easy, which is probably what I should have done. But of course, I am my mother's daughter. I am a theme park fiend, and I was simply unable to do anything but do everything. That's kind of my slogan at this point. I can't do anything but do everything. We did over 18,000 steps a day, Disney Springs, 3 theme parks, Universal and Disney Resorts. We just run and gunned it, and I somehow lived to tell the tale. Mostly because my body has both Starbucks and Joffrey's in it right now. The best of both caffeinated worlds. Now, as you likely know by now, the reason I'm in Orlando is because simply straight up, a hotel was like, want us to send you here to fart around and like run circles around the park and then talk about it all on mic from our hotel? And I was like, yes. Yes, I would sure like to do that very much. And that is how I ended up here on assignment with like no assignment except to tire myself out and lean into the chaos, which I tend to do anyway. Which, sidebar, this is a podcast of stories, secrets, and shenanigans. So let's kind of combine all three of those and get very real here. This is not normal, okay? Like, this is not the norm for my career or even for like checking out and reporting on a property, anything along those lines. A setup like this, like being invited to just go dilly-dally and then yap about it, does not happen. Like, it does not go down like this ever. And I'm being very candid here. Like, this is the type of stuff people don't really talk about publicly. But I want you to know I am in no way being like, beep, boop, hotel invited me. I spit out nice compliment. Burr, burr. Like, people will do partnerships where they stay in exchange for a post or videos or whatever. And those are generally always positive. People will be invited to check out a hotel in a media capacity where they review it and write about it and whatever. That's usually a balanced take, a review. I mean, if a hotel serves simple functions, there's not many negatives you can say. But that's more of like a review style, the pros, the cons, who should stay here, why you should stay here, things like that. I live in a liminal space between both worlds because I am, in my brain, media capacity. I am a journalist, but I yell excitedly out loud, so I'm a little in both. And I really like full, I mean, we're being very real here. I would have anticipated them like trying to encourage me to stay at the hotel and not leave and not go to the parks. Or I would have expected them to like low-key shape the narrative of my content, which I wouldn't let them do. That's why I'm good at my job. But no, this was top to bottom, the best possible experience I've ever had when being asked to come somewhere, and it couldn't have ended up better. Like, this hotel didn't just be like, do you want to sleep here for a night? They made everything so easy. They were like, go to Epic, run around, have fun, crash at Caribe Royale, do it all over again, enjoy, you do you, girly. This has been the chillest setup, and I don't anticipate this will ever happen again, but I want to let you know that is what we are coming into this with. The energy that Caribe Royale has brought is, we love your podcast, toot toot, go have fun at the parks, tra-la-la, goodbye. And let's just say, that is very risky on their end. If you listen to this podcast, you know I am overly enthusiastic, but sometimes that enthusiasm skews positive, and sometimes that enthusiasm is not positive. See last week's extensive commentary about Disney's Hollywood Studios. This was an unbelievable roll of the dice, because if I didn't like the hotel, I was going to tell you while I was sitting it, I was going to complain about it. But I think they knew they had a really good thing here, because I was very pleasantly surprised by this entire resort. Like, whoa, they have a hidden gem here, and they knew I would love it. They knew I would love it, and well, I did. But we'll get into that in a minute, because we're going chronologically, baby. We're gonna build slowly, like a twister coming for a rural barn. Oh no, is that rude to farmers? Oh no, I was an agriculture major. I'm a friend of farmers. I hope it wasn't taken with offense. I was just thinking of Glenn Powell because I was on Hulu, obviously watching Angel last night when I should have been doing work. And sorry, Mom, I know I said I was working, but I was watching Angel while I was working, to be fair. And Glenn Powell's new show popped up, which is from Michael Waldron, who's the dude who worked on WandaVision. And so I've had like that show on the mind because I'm like, oh, I got to see Michael Waldron's new project. Anyway, that's what I meant. I was thinking of twisters. I wasn't thinking of offending the farmers. Anyway. I just meant we're going to build momentum slowly. Anyway, physics and tornadoes and Glenn Powell aside. After a particularly hectic week back in Los Angeles, my mom, who was in California with us at the time, flew with me across the country to Orlando. And we have spent a total of about 70 hours in Florida, doing as much as we possibly could. And I emphasize hectic. Like, it was a hectic week back in LA because it has been a long month on the home front. Like, y'all know this. A lot of doctor stuff, a lot of health stuff, a lot of chaos. potty training, preschool, a week without childcare. Like, it was bananas. So I had an itinerary. I was set for the trip. I set everything up. Like, we were good. But I did that, and I just kind of, like, put a pin in it and kind of forgot the day had actually come when the trip was happening. Like, I had an itinerary. Again, I had plans, but I didn't truly register what was going on. Like, nothing that I was just plinking out from my computer in my office had really clicked in my brain that it was a plan that I'd made for myself to live in real life until the Uber pulled up at the airport. And I was like, cool, we have an 8:15 dinner at the Venetian Chop House at the hotel. Sounds great. Can't wait. And my mom's like, if it's called the Venetian Chop House, it's going to be fancy. And it was one of those, like, slow-mo, like, shots in my brain where I was like, oh, I did not think through any of this at all. I packed summer shorts. I packed, basically, for that dinner, I packed, like, a pair of neon pink pants. The busiest pants anyone could have ever imagined. And I didn't even register that we'd be going to a nice restaurant. So we check in. We go to our room. The hotel is truly giving, like, Florida, like Golden Girls Florida, like good vibes, sunshine Florida, not, you know, recently passed open carry law Florida. It's giving good Florida. This lobby has a grand entrance. You walk in and you're like, ooh, I'm somewhere, which I love. You know I love a good lobby. We go to our room. We were actually bused there because we had luggage, which was so great. They have a shuttle which took us, even though it's really like a 3-minute walk, but they did us a solid, which I greatly appreciate. And we checked into our room, which was a 2-bedroom villa. And wow, it's really nice to have space. Pearl did not come on this trip. She has gone on the last few, so it was just my mom and I. And I fully overheard my mom celebrate, like personally have a celebratory party in her room for about 10 minutes straight. She was like, oh, I love it. A door. Ooh, a room. She had her own bathroom. She was thriving. We basically, when we went on that Royal Caribbean cruise, we basically slept like on top of Pearl for a week. So this was a gift. This was really something. And we were very happy to have our own spaces. Also, is there anything better than that feeling of your first day of arriving to Orlando, knowing there's so much fun ahead, knowing you're going to be stomping your way through the park so soon? I'm so sad today to be like, I just zipped up one of my bags because the other bag is obviously going to be full of Gideons. But I just looked at my bag and was like, I just saw these walls and now I have to leave them and return to the real world? Sob. I don't wanna. So we change, we get ready, we head down. My mom is dressed to the nines. She brought like so much formal clothes. She looks like she's a cast member of The Real Housewives. Like, she came out like fully decked out in a beautiful outfit. She at one point was like, do you want to borrow my purse? Because I only brought theme park bags. And it was like a glittery handbag. My mom really went for it. She looked at that part of the itinerary. She didn't look at the rest because she packed many fancy shoes and we were going to theme parks. Mom, I'm sorry to drag you on Maine. But, and then I showed up looking like I was dressed buy a pack of children's novelty erasers. Like, truly, I'm just wearing chaotic pants and flopping around. And so we go down to the hotel steakhouse. By the way, I did tell her no leggings for dinners, and she looked great. I just looked like Miss Frizzle gone wrong. That was basically my accidental look for this lovely little chop house. And let me say, before we get into the restaurant, this episode is not going to be all about the hotel. We're going to talk about the parks. I'm just going in order. There's so much theme park silliness ahead, but this was just what happened the first day we were there. I don't want you to think like this is just a hotel endlessly. No, we're going to get into theme parks. I promise. So we sit down. We each order a cocktail, which we do like once every vacation, and then drink a third of it. And we're like, whoa. And as soon as the devil's juice goes immediately to my head, I'm like, I'm toast. I'm so tired. Tired, unfortunately, became a small theme of the trip. Kind of like a college minor to someone who majors in professionally doing too much. Like, my academic studies have led me to, oopsies, be exhausted at all times. I mean, the two kind of go hand in hand, you know? It's yin and yang. I do way too much, I never rest, and therefore, I sleepy. But please just keep that in mind that I started from, oh no, I'm sleepy, when you hear how much we did these past 2 days. So you can just kind of laugh at me in the future. Anyway, the Venetian Chop House. Y'all, why have we not heard of this place? I do not understand. This restaurant in the hotel was maybe one of the best restaurants I've ever eaten in Orlando, if not anywhere. Why does nobody know about this place? What? It is the purest, truest hidden gem I've ever organically experienced in Orlando, easily. And I'm baffled why this is not all over my TikTok feed. Like, I just hear an ambient woman's voice in my head going, If you are going to Orlando for the theme parks, you're missing out on the big show, the Venetian Chop House. Located at the Caribe Royale, they have a steak that will blow your mind. Like, that is what the content that should exist for this place, and it doesn't. Like, we're not just talking about, like, oh, a good meal at a steakhouse. Cool, great. There's 4 zillion of those around the world. I started with the Caesar salad, which, like, always Caesar salad, always good, except for, like, 2 places in LA where I've had it and it's been bad because they used, like, not a creamy Caesar dressing. Ugh, nobody wants that. Anyway, I had that, like, an ideal appetizer to look forward to after basically just having a handfuls of granola and complimentary Delta Airline snacks all day. Nothing says I've arrived like a martini and a Caesar salad. But the real show here, the reason I'm kind of looking around being like, why are y'all not talking about this place, is that I had one of the best steaks of my life. Didn't expect that. Did not expect that to be happening. And I had an unbelievable mac and cheese. And you know that I am picky when it comes to mac and cheese. I have a lot of feelings about mac and cheese. It is very easy, weirdly, to mess up a good, high-quality mac and cheese. And the one on the menu was a lobster mac. It had pieces of lobster and lobster bisque in it. And I didn't really want lobster that day, so I asked if I could just do a plain macaroni and cheese, like maybe there was something on a kid's menu, maybe like if they could modify it. And our absolutely lovely waiter was like, oh, no problem, you're totally fine. I was not expecting this to be a top-tier mac and cheese. Oh my goodness. I will not talk about this restaurant forever, even though I could, but I'm fully gobsmacked by what happened in that place. Like, I'm personally going to make Shea Spence come here I'm going to pay for his Uber to get him in here to dine so that the people know, because I did not know that this kind of heavy hitter was here. And it's a fancy restaurant. Like, it is a nice steakhouse and the pricing matches, but it was divine. If you end up here, I know a few of my followers have already mentioned they have stays coming up. Definitely check out this restaurant, because I was shocked. So we're at dinner, and me, Little Miss Does Too Much, is sitting next to the reigning queen of Does Too Much. Like, I'm like Does Too Much princess. My mom is royalty of the Does Too Much province. Like, she rules over the Does Too Much land. And I'm like, yum, yum, yummy steak, yummy macaroni and cheese. I'm so happy. I can't wait to get in bed and watch so much Buffy. And my mom's like, cool, no, we're going to Disney Springs. They're open until 11. It is fated to be. And over the course of this meal, she convinces me that our first shenanigan is starting at that moment, at that night. I made one comment at the airport. I landed and I opened the doors outside of the luggage carousel, and I was there and I was like, oh, I got like the wind like blew me over a little. I was like, oh, we could go to Zara and buy pants. And the next thing I know, I'm half asleep shuffling through Disney Springs security in my indoor flats, going to pop in line for Gideon's and shop till I potentially actually literally drop. Now, Gideon's. Did I need to go there? I did not. I placed an order in advance. I ordered a illegal amount of cookies, like too many cookies. Too many. I have half of a suitcase reserved for them that I'm going to go pick up in about an hour. I don't know if I can fit them all. That's how many cookies I ordered. But the promise of starting and ending a trip with the best cookies in existence is pretty rad. So we hop in line. There's no virtual queue, just like a 10-15 minute wait. Mwah! Beautiful. We get up there and I'm like, yeah, I'm going to need to be schlepping a cold brew around for tomorrow. Like, no, like I need to. I rarely get to go to Gideon's at Disney Springs. I always like pre-order or rent a car, like have some Uber shenanigans to get it on the way to the airport. But I was like, oh, I'm here. I'm getting that cold brew. And that peanut butter cold brew. Listen, if there's one person in the world that I kind of want to sell out, it's Steve, because I need this cold brew more often. I need it on the West Coast. I need Steve to package with someone, like to partner with someone and make it a packaged beverage. Like, I need to be able to buy this at a CVS. Steve, I love you and I love the quality of the product, but like, I need Gideon's everywhere. I just need it everywhere. It's just so good. The peanut butter, it's like salty and peanut buttery. It's heaven. Oh, it's so heaven. It's quite sugary. And I had the rest the next morning. I did have a little that night. I had the rest the next morning and it went straight to my head, but it was divine. I also got a slice of cookie butter cake, which I prefer the buttercream to the actual cake, but they were out of frosting shots. Also deeply ironic considering I just disembarked a Delta flight where I refused a Biscoff and then bought a whole cake slice themed to them. Whatever, I contain multitudes. Then I got a chocolate chip cookie, which I panic ordered because I was gonna dip it in the frosting, and then they ran out of the buttercream frosting dips that they sell, and I was like, oh, whatever. But my mom, the saint that she is, carried my peanut butter coffee all the way through Zara at Disney Springs while I was shopping because I needed pants. I needed pants, and I had major success. Now, buying pants is such a drag. It is my least favorite thing next to buying shoes, but I always find things when I'm shopping with my mom because I'll talk myself out of it and be like, no, I don't have to try it on. I'll do it another time. No, I don't. It's fine. It's fine. It's fine. And she'll be like, just do it. You're not going to come back. And I need that type of good bullying. Like, I need that to complete the deal. I bought, what are they called? Barrel jeans? Blah, they are so silly. Also, I'm out here buying some like Western style jeans and having a steak. Am I a cowboy? Am I a cowboy grind? Pretty into it. There's this cardigan that I have in yellow that I always wear on Disney Cruise Line. I just always pack it. I got that in beige. They sell it now in beige. It has like a ruffle. It's like a like buttons all down the front and then like a ruffle on top of the buttons and a ruffle trim. It's lovely. And then I bought a yellow knit beanie, which I love. And I don't know if the coloring works for me, but it's really cute. And I got a spray tan this week and I think that's why it didn't work. But I think when I'm back to my pale, ghastly self, it will absolutely line up and be totally fine. They had most of the Disney collection there. I have a skyscraper of boxes that were delivered to me while I was gone. So that's like my new wardrobe is the Zara Disney collab. So I was pretty set. And I only came home with responsible items, which I was pretty pleased with. Before we left the hotel earlier that night, we learned there was a complimentary shuttle to and from the parks at set times. So we booked it just before we left, just in case we stayed out until Disney Springs closed at 11, which duh, we did. And having the bus there waiting for us was so relaxing. It's a mirrors situation. They have a set schedule. You sign up, I think, like 24 hours before. It's easy to do at the hotel. And it really just had me missing Disney's Magical Express. Like, it felt so nice to have a hotel be like, we'll whisk you away on a mirrors. I miss that. I miss that a bit. And it was just nice to kind of zen out on a bus before we returned back. We did stay out too late that night because, oh, did you hear that? I don't know if you can hear that on mic, but the ice maker I'm in a villa style room, which we're going to get to in a sec, but it has a full kitchen with a full fridge and an ice maker, and the ice maker just kicked on. Ooh, fun. Anyway, we stayed out a bit too late because the next day was our big theme park day. And part of the draw of the trip was that I wanted to take my mom to Epic Universe for the first time. When I visited for that media preview, I was like, she's going to love these lands, even if she doesn't know any of the IP. And I was really curious what it would be like to be there with someone who doesn't do thrill rides. My mom has motion sickness. She can't do the big screens. She can't do the big scaries. She doesn't do roller coasters, stuff like that. And so I was wondering, genuinely, like, it was kind of an experiment. Will it be totally chill, or will we still have plenty to do? Will we be bored? Will this shine a light on the major holes in the park's attraction lineup? And the answer is, it kind of did all of that. But I won't lie to you on my podcast, dear friend. Epic Universe was not our first stop of the day. Oh yeah, the reigning queen and princess of Does Too Much Island couldn't help ourselves. So my mom and I are like never alone in Orlando anymore. Like, we've had so much fun coming with Pearl, don't get me wrong, but this was adult time. It was just us, and it's never really just us anymore. So I may have like overextended us just a smidge. Because our first morning, we didn't just wake up casually, get ready, and go to Epic like a sane person would have done. We went to the Orlando Outlet Mall. Hey, in my defense, okay, everything is expensive everywhere now, and there are weirdly sometimes gigantic sales there. There can be really good deals, and you don't know unless you pop in firsthand. Now, unlike the time I went with my friend Ariana like a year or two ago at this point, things were not priced well on this visit. They were not affordable. We kept looking at tags being like, sorry, what? Ma'am, do you know you're at an outlet mall? Like, it was very bizarre. So I mostly just played dress up at a few of the stores, sucking down my peanut butter cold brew from Gideon's. And then I ended up finding a pair of deeply, deeply discounted, like a unicorn in a sea of no discounts, deeply discounted black Mary Janes that I really needed. I don't have any solid black shoes. Again, I got pants and shoes. I do find stuff every time I'm with my mom. See? She was right. She always helps me buy stuff because otherwise, oh, sorry, I'm just taking off my sweatshirt. I don't know why I thought you would hear that. My glasses hit into my head. I thought you'd hear that. That's not how podcasting works. Anyway, I went out with my mom. I always get stuff done. And then I just put it off forever. That's why I'm still walking in like half broken plastic Birkenstocks that are sitting in a cart on the Birkenstock website. I haven't clicked checkout. I need to do that. So we wrapped up there. We Ubered over to Epic around, also like, oh, freely taking Ubers because I don't have a car seat. Ooh, heaven. We Ubered over to Epic around noon. And even though we had about 10 hours in the park, like the park was open from 10 to 10 that day, we missed the first 2 hours, which isn't a lot. We were still moving at a fast clip the entire time and kind of barely jammed everything in. There was this weird conundrum where I felt like so much lightning lane pressure, like, okay, let's do this. We got to do this. And then even though we had the ability to do whatever, whenever, I just was still kind of schedule stressed the whole day. It's confounding how the park strangely has almost nothing for my mom to do, but we also never seem to actually relax. The two things I really wanted my mom to see were Cirque Arcanu and The Untrainable Dragon, both of the main stage shows at Epic Universe. So we beelined straight to the circus and got in no problem. I told my mom nothing, even though she's fully listened to the Epic Universe podcast. Like, she's called in a voicemail about it. I think she just, that just kind of, all that information has already left her brain, which was nice because she was able to experience it all for the first time. And I guess I didn't spoil it on the podcast, so that does make sense. Yeah, that does make sense. She probably retained it, but again, I didn't spoil it. And while I love Cirque Arcanu, you know this, you've heard my podcast on it. I love it, love it, love it. I do think Epic Universe has a really big repeatability issue. My mom loved the show. It was her first time. But once you know what happens in Cirque Arcanu, in like this little stage front Fantastic Beasts propaganda machine, which I say lovingly, Natch, but it is a Fantastic Beasts propaganda machine. It doesn't, once you've like seen it, once you know what happens, it doesn't quite hit the same. Same with seeing Wizarding World of Harry Potter's Paris for the first time. My mom, who has no favoritism towards any of these properties, she was still wowed. She walked in, was like, she nailed it immediately. She was like, is this turn of the century Paris? Like, it just really delivered design-wise. But then after we spent time in there, she was kind of like, okay, I've seen it all. I'm good. She's not someone who's going to buy a wand to do the stuff. The characters walking around are kind of like, who are these people? And unlike some other parks, like, that doesn't really happen. We never feel like we're ready to go like that. And it was interesting to see that happen in real time through my professional gaze. And it really got me thinking about how there is this big chasm between Epic Universe's properties featured in the parks and other theme parks in the area. See, my mom has gone to Universal with me many times before, and my mom knows what Men in Black is, who Jimmy Fallon is, what Shrek is. She's very familiar with Cat in the Hat, The Grinch, Dr. Seuss, even like the comic strip Island fellas. Jurassic Park, too, even though that's pretty straightforward, like, it's dragons, duh. Newt Scamander? Popping up 10 minutes into a stage show, appearing by screen and sounding like he is definitely battling a cold. My mom is like, this is fun, but what is happening? Like, who is this man? She did not know who he was, which honestly, yeah, most people don't. The movie's tanked. And like, while I'm not obsessed with the Fantastic Beasts franchise, I wouldn't know this stuff if I was being tested on it either. And while it's lovely outside of the barrier of context, I do feel like Epic Universe's IP does hit a bit of a generational wall. Like, I don't want to put it this way, but I'm gonna. If you might be fooled by an AI video of cute babies on Instagram, this park is maybe not for you. No casual fan, even if you grew up with the Harry Potter films and perhaps don't have lower back pain yet, would clock who this man is. And upon second look at Epic, it's something that I thought could happen with different age groups, but something I really hadn't experienced with my own eyes. And that repeatability issue is interesting and going to be something I follow for the next few years. The best way for Universal to fix this is obviously to open two family-friendly rides inside a Wicked-themed land, and then literally every problem at this park will be solved. Literally every problem at Epic Universe would be solved by two family-friendly rides in a Wicked land. Please make it happen. Please make it happen. And while we're on the topic, can we just... Newt Scamander is the name of the character in Fantastic Beasts, and the ringleader at the carnival is named Ringmaster Scander? Why? 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 Whose terrible idea was that? They sound identical. Scamander and Scander, were there no other names? Were all the names taken? Like, why would they give them identical names? That's so confusing, especially if you don't know this property. And who does? Anyway. While you'd think, oh, they must have had a miserable day at Epic Universe. No, we had a really great time. The food was wonderful. We were jam-packed all day with things to do, surprisingly. It's just that repeatability issue that I'm kind of waving a flag on early. Because if you're not drawn to these properties specifically, once you go once, you're kind of like, that was rad, but I don't know if I need to do that again. But what we did do, we loved. We went to, oh boy, don't want to say this out loud, Café L'Air de la Sirène, the restaurant. It's said Resident Evil and Harry Potter. I was determined to sit outside. There was a moment during the press preview where I was sitting outside and I was like, this is where I want to come back here with my mom and I want to sit here and I want us to have food. And that is exactly what happened. I got the turkey sandwich, the baguette. The turkey on the sandwich, fantastic. My mom got French onion soup with a side salad and said it was better than the one she had in Paris, which is a great review for Harry Potter and also a bad review for my restaurant choices in Paris. Whew! Wow, I must have done her dirty. And my mom wanted to see the rest of Wizarding World and explore, but I desperately needed coffee. So we popped out to the Starbucks in Celestial Park so I could get my sauce, and then we headed back in. But while we were on the way to Starbucks, we noticed the postcard booth was open. This is one of those areas where there's different artists doing henna tattoos and face paint and, you know, the letter paintings, and get like a letter painted. They also had these postcards, and I just walked past it and clocked it really fast because I collect a traditional postcard every time I travel anywhere for Pearl. And when I came to the opening, I literally could not find a postcard. I went to all the gift shops. They're like, oh, we don't sell postcards. Like, they just don't sell Epic Universe postcards. So I saw this and was like, oh, I'll get her this postcard. Little did I know that they will paint you into it. So my mom and I, we stood there for this like abstract painting. It's so beautiful. The artist did such an incredible job. I wish I remembered their name, but they were fantastic. And then my mom's like, oh, can you add Pearl in? And they did. I gave the artist a photo of my child. They painted her in. Like, oh, so wonderful. Really great souvenir. It was $23.99, which is a little like, it's up there. But I think compared to anything else I would have brought home, I will cherish this way more. And I ran into my friend Tara, who also does what I do, is also covering theme parks. And she got one too. And I was like, oh, is this a thing? I didn't know this was a thing. And I Googled around, and I guess at the beginning of the park opening, or maybe when they were in soft opening, they had postcards like this and they were free. And that's also where they handed out poems, if you have a vague recollection of that, like I do. I looked around. I didn't have time to text Alicia Stella before recording this because I'm heading to the airport in 30 minutes. I have exactly enough time to record, and then my bags are out the door to go to Gideon's. But I will find out, and I'll loop back once I talk to Alicia. But it was such a delightful little souvenir that I'm going to cherish so much more than a stuffed animal, and I'm so glad we did it. They will also hold on to it if you don't want to carry it around and possibly bend it. But because they can close early for rain, we decided to just take ours with us and hold on to it. And my mom had it in her bag, and it didn't bend, and I am so grateful. The weather that day was wackadoo, and it started pouring like right after I got my coffee. So we went back to Wizarding World to check out the details, and I gotta say, it really is a beautiful land, even if the woman who created it couldn't be uglier inside. Like, it's wild that the author has become such a hateful beast that she's one of the kinds of villains she would have put into her own story. What a wretched woman J.K. Rowling is. But anyway, we walked around. I forced my mom to take photos of me like throughout the park. And then I took her inside the Ministry of Magic, which is one of those spaces, because there is a path. If there's like the express line, there's the regular queue, and then there is just a path to see the Ministry of Magic. It's the same entrance as a single rider line, but even if the single rider line is closed, you can still go in there and boop, check out the Ministry of Magic. And I took her in there, which is a space that I thought she would think was super cool, even if she didn't know Harry Potter. And I think it just kind of made no sense, because I forgot, like, if you don't know Harry Potter, like, the wow of the Ministry of Magic is just like, where am I? It's like, am I in an office building? What is happening? The flu powder was still fun. The effect, the green, like, that was great. But the Ministry kind of made no sense, which I thought, like, I guess I can't remember a life before knowing about the Ministry of Magic. So it was really eye-opening to me. From then, we had about an hour until our big surprise of the day. And so now that it was sunny, we walked back through Burke to see the dragons, catch the sights. And I realized, like, yeah, when someone doesn't do thrill rides and they don't know these IPs, there's just like kind of not much for them, which is fine. But I bring that up because there is a way if you are traveling with someone who doesn't do thrill rides, who like maybe isn't as invested in these properties as you are, there is a way to still have everyone do what they want to make everyone happy. And the golden ticket for that in this park is the single rider line. Hiccup's Wing Gliders didn't have it. I imagined they had it. They've never had it. It was a huge bummer. I was like, oh, I'm just going to go on the single rider line and it doesn't exist. I take it back. So we made our way to Darkmoor, which is Dark Universe. And I literally breezed onto Monsters Unchained. Like, I floated in like a spirit. It was so fast. I was basically running down the halls. Like, it was impossibly quick to get on that ride. And that ride is a powerhouse, the type of thing more theme parks need. The wait time posted was basically 10 to 15 minutes every time I checked, which is bananas for a behemoth of a ride like this one. Like, I forgot how long that ride is. It's huge. And the fact that you can single rider a brand new thrill ride like that with no hesitation over and over and over is bliss. Because the posted waits during that day were long. It would require a lot of moving around and back and forth and checking the clock. Like, a lot of doing that to get it all done. But if you don't want to buck up the big bucks for Express Pass, which, oh my God, I get it, especially if you have a family or a bunch of kids, like, it adds up so quickly. Single rider line is a tool that is more helpful here than probably anywhere. I was recently reading this bonkers blog post from my friend Tom Bricker about how he waited in, like, no lines at Epic, which, not my experience on a random Monday in September. Hachicha, not the same. He went on a weekend and it was bliss. I don't know what's going on there. You can check out his blog post. I was shocked by that. Apparently the weekends are maybe not as busy, but that doesn't make any sense. I don't know. I trust Tom. It just was not my experience, but I trust him wholeheartedly. But I did have a taste of what he experienced later in the day. Because single rider line will make your life 1,000 times easier, but in tandem with that, putting the effort into really watching the wait times is going to benefit you greatly at this park. It finally happened, y'all. It finally happened. I felt a breeze in the air, which means it's time for fall, the very best season for wearing whatever you want to. Cooler days are going to call for layers that last. And Quince has all the quality essentials for feeling cozy and looking refined without blowing your budget. These are going to be the pieces that turn into your year-round uniform. We're talking about $50 Mongolian cashmere, premium denim that fits like a dream, and luxe outerwear you're probably going to wear year after year. Looking like the chicest person in your Instagram feed has never been easier. Because Quince partners directly with top-tier ethical factories and cuts out the middlemen, delivering luxury quality pieces at half the price of similar brands. I know you've heard me talk about Quince month after month, but I gotta tell you, I switched it up. I placed a little fall order at Quince, and I got items that I know are going to last me through fall, winter, and every season after that. I got a Mongolian cashmere cardigan sweater in this beautiful bright red that's gonna look just as good with jeans as it will with a dress. I got a baby alpaca wool turtleneck that is the perfect kind of oversized I was looking for, and a washable silk skirt. Which together, ideal for fall, with tights, perfect for winter, and honestly, the exact outfit combo I've been needing for things like a Disney cruise. When you need a light little sweater for dinner, but if you go outside, you want to still be able to feel nice in the breeze in the summertime. The idea of loading up on basics is so annoying. It's a task. But honestly, it isn't at Quince. Their selection is refined, the reviews are really reliable, and it makes shopping stylish, smart, and finally easy. Find your fall staples at Quince. Go to quince.com/amusing for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's also available in Canada now, too! Yeah! That's quince.com/amusing for free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/amusing. I love a sweet, and I love a little treat, but more than anything, I love a healthy snack. It can usually be really hard to find a grab-and-go option, but Washington Red Raspberries are a clean, simple, and seriously delicious way to add more flavor and nutrition to your day. So when you buy American-grown frozen raspberries, you're getting fresh-off-the-field flavor all year long. This isn't any old frozen fruit. These are frozen within hours to lock in nutrients like antioxidants, vitamin C, and fiber! Everyone is out in the streets talking about fiber, and one serving of these red raspberries has 21% of your daily value. One of the highest fiber berries. Incredible! Pop them in a smoothie, put them in overnight oats, or just eat them individually like nature's little morsels of goodness. They're healthy, delicious, and convenient. With American-grown frozen red raspberries, you can have it all. Finally! You can find them at Kroger, Meijer, even Costco. Yes, these American-grown gems of deliciousness are all over. Just look for Product of the U.S. on the bag. Oh, and sidebar, they're also used in Smucker's Peanut Butter and Raspberry Uncrustables. We love a celebrity sighting! If you want to discover new ways to use American frozen red raspberries and get more details on where you can grab a bag of these delicious berries, go to redraz.org. That's redraz.org. You'll find recipes, health tips, retail locations, and everything you need to make frozen Washington red raspberries a regular part of your routine.
Life is unpredictable. But preparing for the unexpected shouldn't be. Take ownership of your life planning with Policy Genius to help your loved ones have a financial safety net in case something happens to you. They offer life insurance policies starting at just $276 a year for $1 million in coverage. Don't wait for life to make other plans. Protect your family today. Head to PolicyGenius.com. That's PolicyGenius.com.
Take Harry Potter Battle of the Ministry. This ride ranged between 180 minutes and 25 on the same day. Seriously, at one point, the general wait time was 25 minutes. This is an attraction who had sandwich boards up throughout the park that it would close early, so staffers aren't working until like 1 a.m. if everyone runs into park closure. I personally think that's why it dropped so shockingly low towards the end of the night, because everyone's like, wow, we might miss out. But again, 25 minutes was at 8 p.m., 2 hours before park closure. When I got in line, in the single rider line, the wait was 35 minutes. I waited about 20, and the ride attendant overheard the people next to me talking about 35 minutes and was like, what? The wait was 35 minutes? Like, even they couldn't believe it. And that's how whack-a-mole Epic Universe can start to feel after a while. You never know what's going to go down or stop operating if the elevator shafts aren't at all working in the ministry, or what wait times will be, and everything feels a bit chaotic on the guest end and a little internally chaotic within yourself. As many of you know, one of their major thrill rides is currently closed for a very good reason, one which I await more information hopefully coming out, because it is incredibly sad and truly awful of a story. But beyond any impact that may be having on wait times in the park, not all the attractions here are firing on all cylinders. Figures were down on Monsters, Untrainable Dragon stopped mid-show earlier that morning, and everyone's getting doomed from the Donkey Kong ride, which I don't recommend you go on anyway because, ouch! And I just feel like I want to warn you that the lines here are a little rando and a little chaotic, and it's kind of a slog. I walked away being like, why am I not chill, relaxed, happy? Like, I'm not here with a toddler. Shouldn't I feel free? Even going from poncho to sweating to umbrella to wait times to show times to schedules. Like, it just felt a lot more complicated here. And it all goes back to them not having easy rides. There is a lot to see and lots to eat, but not a lot to do. There are no small wins here. And that is the issue. Like, there's no easy thrill. There's a reason Disneyland didn't originally have only 6 e-ticket rides. There's a reason there are different levels of rides. And here, there are essentially no slow boat rides, no rides to easily board. There's one Omnimover, yes, the Yoshi ride. But moving at the pace of an ice cube melting on a kitchen countertop while sitting in the blazing hot sun is not really where it's at. We did ride that at night. My mom loved it. She was so happy to go on something because, well, yeah. We saw the Untrainable Dragon, which was excellent as always. Truly toothless flying above you, 5 stars, no question. But my mom was kind of othered in this park, and I just wish they had a little more to do, even though we did have so much we packed the day with. If we went back a second time and she'd already seen everything, she would want to leave within minutes. We would do the carousel, we would do that, and then it would be over. So if you can make it easy on yourself, utilize single rider line, watch the queues closely, as much brain space as that does take, and prepare to pivot whenever necessary, which is something Tom said in his post, which I absolutely agree with. You have to be nimble to pull a day off here, but it is mentally draining, but it is worth it. At least here, it actually does pay off in dividends. We were able to do everything we wanted and eat everything we wanted and end our night with a glorious ride on the carousel as the park closed, which was truly wonderful. But the highlight was something special my mom and I did together, which I will tell you about after this break. Welcome back, and I have a special guest with me.
I'm so special. I'm so happy to be here. I forced her a little bit.
No, yeah. You did not, because I wanted you to talk about the monster makeover that we had in Darkmoor at Epic Universe, because this is something you did not want to do.
Did not.
complained about it extensively.
Yes, because I was worried about, am I going to break out? Is it going to be too much makeup? I have some issues with my eye. I was worried about everything. It went so smooth.
Yeah, you ended up being obsessed with it.
I loved Shay, who did my makeup. She was amazing.
I mean, like, just to set the scene, my mom was like, do I have to do this? I don't want to do this. Do I have to do this? Cut to me still getting my face done, looking over, and my mom is having a full photo shoot inside the makeup studio. My mom is like transformed into a different person, like visually and completely, like was like fully, Shay was basically a photographer taking photos of my mom in all these different settings. I cannot recommend the experience enough. It was $45 for each of us, which I was kind of like, that's a pretty good price. And then once we got it done, I was like, that's an unbelievable price, because they really go hard with the makeup. Yours was a little different than mine.
Mine was different, and she was so precise in everything. Like, the bolts had to be good and the scars had to be great. But when she was doing it, I was like, I don't know how this is going to be because I have a green face. And then she outlined it in black and silver and did these little stitches. And she did one side of my face and then the other side of my cheek. And it was so amazing.
Yeah, so they have, like, when you get there, it's really hard to find online. I don't think they have the options online, but I looked at social media as much as possible. I looked at every TikTok before we went, and there's, like, 10-ish different options that you can do. One of them that my mom got is kind of like a half stitch face. So it's like over one of your eyes and then kind of, what was it, like around your mouth or like
your
cheek?
It was all over like my hairline on the one side around my cheek, just missing the other eye.
It's like a Frankenstein half and half. And then I looked through all of them, and I originally was going to do maybe like a Dracula or a Bride of Frankenstein, because my mom forced me into a Bride of Frankenstein costume when I was a small child and made me wear it for multiple Halloweens, even though I was about 5 and did not know who Bride of Frankenstein
was.
You
were so cute, had the big wig with
it. It was really cute. Yeah, the photos are cute, but also like, why was I not Elmo? Like, why was I Bride of Frankenstein?
You were Bride of Frankenstein because I love the costume.
Did you get it on a discount?
No, I didn't. Maybe it was on sale.
Yeah, maybe. Because no other 5-year-old wanted to be Bride of Frankenstein.
But it was so unique. And plus, I did the white makeup. You looked so good, and you have that picture today.
In retrospect, it's funny, but like, I wasn't allowed to be a princess. I just had to be a Bride of Frankenstein.
You weren't the princess type, though.
I had no context for what that was. She had me like a whole bride wig in second grade. And maybe first grade and kindergarten?
Wait, what do you mean bride wig? It was a tall...
Yeah,
it
wig.
Was like Marge Simpson.
Yeah, it was a wig. That's a
it
wig.
It was a wig. Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay, yeah.
Yeah, a whole headpiece. Yeah, my tiny head.
Right. And you looked adorable. I wish you'd post that.
I do have to find it. It was cute. It was cute, but also unnecessary. So I thought I was going to go in and have a real full circle moment and do the Bride of Frankenstein makeup. But then when I flipped through all the images, they now have an updated book. And they have photos of a child and two adults for each makeup look. All of the adults looked kind of scary and mean in the makeup. Like, I originally was looking online at the kid Dracula and like the little kid Bride of Frankenstein. And they were so cute. But then these adults looked terrifying. And I didn't want to be like out here terrifying random children on their theme park vacation. So I ended up going full Frankenstein. So my mom and I kind of matched where she had partial Frankenstein and I had full Frankenstein face. And I have never done anything like that. And it was shockingly fun.
So I started taking the mannequins, the monster mannequins, and kissing them and taking pictures. I did do a full photo shoot.
Yes, you were obsessed.
They had a wall of monsters and a mirror. So I put my face in the middle and took a picture of all of us. They took a picture of me to keep too. I don't know why.
Oh, just because they wanted to show...
They did it.
They wanted to show... I think their boss was asking to see different versions of what they... Just to see, like, what the artistry was.
So we were taking pictures, and I'd say, no, Carly, don't smile. Act mean. Because I was a monster. But the best thing is when we were all done, we were able to get in line and meet Frankenstein and the Bride of Frankenstein and take pictures and... He was so handsome.
My mom has the hots for Frankenstein. It's like really messed up.
No, you don't understand. He was beautiful.
He was not. He was Frankenstein, Mom.
But if you can see his features, he was gorgeous. Bride was beautiful.
I could not see his features because he was Frankenstein.
Like I was like my knees were weak. He goes, "Where's your bolts?" And I'm like, "I don't know." He was so cute. Like you just picture him not green.
Mom!
If you picture him not green, he was so hot.
I can't because he had like. He had like a Frankenstein face.
He was gorgeous.
Okay, my mom has absolutely lost her mind. Absolutely lost her mind. But what was really, really nice, like, also, like, I cannot recommend this experience enough. Again, I don't do this, but the way I looked at it was like, what, like, ears at Disney are about $40 now. This was $45. And I feel like this is so much more special of an accessory, even though it is something you can only really wear that day. It was fun. And like, people kept, I kept forgetting I had it on. People kept asking about it. And I was like, oh, right. I'm talking to you like I'm like I'm Frankenstein. And it was a more fruitful experience than I anticipated. Now, we had the appointment at 5:30 p.m., which I think we could have done a smidge earlier if we really wanted to like get the most out of it. But I got to say, I nailed the timing perfectly because we were able to take like sunset photos. So we got a bunch of photos in. And when I did start to sweat it off, they will, you can actually go back for touch-ups until they close around 9, which is when they closed when we were there. You can go in for touch-ups and they will touch it up. But I have like a wet nose like a dog. I don't know. I have allergies. And so I wouldn't have been able to last in the heat in it, but like 5:30, it kind of stayed together.
At midnight when we got back, I couldn't get it all. I mean, I used the Neutrogena wipes, but it took a few wipes. Mine was good as gold. It was staying on.
It was really, I was very impressed. And when you walked out, so like, here's what I wanted to go back and say originally, is that like the staff there, the employees, the team members could not have been better. Start to finish. Yep. Excellent, like props across the board. Everything was wonderful. The studio space that we were in was like separate from a gift shop. And it was so cool because it was basically like a Mac counter, but for monsters. Like they had all of these, and I asked them about it because I'm like, the setup is so beautiful. They had it custom built, like in-house, the setup of all of these paint tin, like face makeup tins. And like everything was just set up so nice. Like it really felt like a salon.
It wasn't like a child's face painting, like 2 minutes. This was, she took at least a half hour.
Mine was 40 minutes.
Maybe mine was 40. Yeah. But we were having so much fun, we lost track of time.
Yeah.
She's an artist.
You're in like an oldie time barber chair. Like the whole experience is done so well.
And the room is just us.
Yeah, well, it would be more people usually. There's four chairs. It was just us. And then what I thought was so exceptional, and to go back to my mom's crush on Frankenstein, is that they were doing our makeup and they're like, you guys look so good. You have to meet Frankenstein and Bride of Frankenstein. Let us find out what time the schedule is. Because you guys know, like, that's not really posted. It's like kind of hard to figure it out. They went and asked around and found out when the next Frankenstein meet was so that we could go in our makeup and meet him, which I thought was just going the extra mile and was just so, so great. Like, it truly is Bibbidi Bobbidi Boutique for spooks. Like, it's just like, ah, Bibbidi Boo. But one of the best parts was that we walked out and I didn't know they would present us. I didn't know they presented us.
That's what I was going to say. They
walked out, they rang a bell, and they presented us to the village, and they presented us as Igor was walking by. And I don't know what was going on that day with Igor. Igor was under it. Someone was holding an umbrella over Igor like he was a celebrity getting into a black car after a late night talk show visit. And he was like walking through, but like still talking, but he was on the go, but it wasn't raining. So I'm not really sure what was happening. But Igor did comment on our makeup, which was very exciting because Igor wasn't stopping to chat, but he did chat a little bit. And then we were able to go and wait truly like 10 minutes until the Frankenstein meet and greet opened up. We were first in line because we knew we had insider info. And we were able to meet him with fresh makeup, and it was really great.
It was wonderful. He's so cute.
Mom!
And she was pretty, too, but boy, he was hot.
Oh, my mom! Oh, my God.
Okay. I would go back.
She's banned. Listen, she's banned from meeting anyone after this. The other thing I wanted to talk to you about before I go back, and thank you for visiting on the mic, is that we had dinner at Blue Dragon at Epic Universe, and we thought it was great.
I thought it was outstanding.
It was really great. Like, we made a reservation there because a friend of the pod and friend of both of us in real life, Shay Spence, had posted a video like 6 weeks ago, I think, that he loved this one dish there. It was the beef Shein noodles, which is basically a spicy noodle dish with braised beef and garlic and hot chili oil, stuff like that. And I was like, that sounds great. And I immediately made a reservation on Shay's recommendation. And I have been here. I have eaten here before, but it was at the media preview. And when you go to something like that, they serve all of the food in like chafing trays and it's kind of a buffet. And that's not how you eat at the restaurant. That's not how you order. So I can never like review or get a good idea, a good feel of what the menu is like in that situation. And I'm so glad we went back because we had that. I ordered the beef noodles. Shay was right. They were delicious. We both split the crispy fried snapper, which
so
was, yeah, it oh had a Thai papaya salad. Did not expect to be eating a Thai salad in a theme park.
But the pot stickers.
My mom's.
Oh my God.
I had some and I was like, you can have the rest because you're obsessed with this.
They were attached to like this.
It was called snowflake pot stickers. Yeah. And so they were like, it was basically like a circle. Imagine a donut, but the donut is made of individual pot stickers that are all fried in a way where they're attached on top.
Almost like a lace it was fried
like, yeah,
topping.
It was like a lace, maybe wonton.
And you couldn't break them apart. They were like cooked yeah, on, it was like crispy. Underneath it. Yeah. Yeah. And I just took the whole plate and ate it. I'm sorry, Carly.
No, I was.
It was so good. I've never had that anything like that before.
Yeah, the food was really good. The food is really good at Epic Universe. Like, annual pass holders are going to be so lucky when they can treat this place like a mall food court. Like, they're truly going to be blessed. But it was definitely make time to have a proper meal somewhere there because there's even other places I would have wanted to eat and we didn't have time because we only had time for two meals.
This was a great decision, though. It was so good.
Yeah, it was great. I'm really glad we ate there.
It was so delicious.
We almost didn't. I was almost like, let's not do it. My mom's like,
we were having so much fun. We're like, let's just get like something fast. And I said, no, let's sit down and relax.
Yeah.
It rained like a little bit that day, so I needed to get inside.
It was good.
It was great.
Well, thank you, Mom.
No, I'm done.
Yeah, you're done. I got it the rest
of
the podcast.
Can we talk a little more about Frankenstein?
No! Goodbye. Goodbye. Hi, I'm back. And can you believe that was only the first day? No wonder I'm sucking down a jaw freeze as we speak because it has been a humdinger. I think that's how you use that word. And I'm just going to roll with it because I don't have time to check. Day two, we woke up and had a half day at the hotel to hang out. I was given a tour of the property and a tour of rooms from my new best friend, Suzanne, who works at the hotel. Hi, Suzanne. And I'm so glad I was able to talk to someone here because I was able to learn a bunch of stuff I didn't know and would not have found out about otherwise. And I promise this isn't me giving you like a PR spiel. The first day I was there, I was like standing by the bellhop area and I noticed a portrait on the wall and I looked at it and I looked at this artist signature and I was like, that looks like Rauschenberg, but why would that be in this hotel? And I kind of shook it off and I was like, nah, like interesting, but no, I must just be misreading the name. Ends up, the person who did the interior design of this hotel, who redid all of the standard suite rooms and is going to be redoing the villas, is like a major fan or affiliated with Robert Rauschenberg. And there is a original Rauschenberg hanging in this hotel. Low key, nobody would have known other. Like I saw it there and was like, that couldn't be. That simply couldn't be that museum quality art is just casually hanging here near the front. And yet it was. Now we stayed in a villa, which is separate from the other rooms that I toured. I toured one of their standard king suites and then one of their king royale suites. And essentially, all of the rooms here are suites or villas, period. A standard room when you book it here is a suite. You're getting a suite. And the suites, I gotta tell you, are shockingly good. I'm in a villa. We have a full kitchen. We have a full stove. We have tons of space. We have a dining room table, which I'm recording at, and a very high ceiling, which I know Jeff tells me never to do, but I didn't want to sit in a closet for an hour. I'm sorry, Jeff. I hope this doesn't sound bad. But I'm out here being like, y'all, we got to talk about these hotel rooms because all of them are suites by standard. So you get a separate living room, and the living room has a big, long desk, which is separate from the bedroom, which is so good for if you're working while traveling because sitting in that desk facing a wall in the bedroom is so sad. You also, every room has a microwave, so you can have a warm Gideon's cookie later on in the week. They have, like, it's just, the amenities here are so good for the type of trip that a lot of us take. They're perfectly situated between theme park resorts, and I say all this because I'm very impressed by what they're offering here. I mean, they have those regular suites, king or two queen. They have a fancier royale king suite, and then the two-bedroom villas. That's it. Those are the only room types. No lake view, street view, a corner room. Like, no, none of that scrolling through a Marriott website feeling cuckoo bananas. It's just those room types, and that's it. It's simple. And it's all these moments that made me go kind of, Like, in the market downstairs, they have Kelly's Ice Cream, the local ice cream purveyor. And they have a flavor that is exclusive to here that's like a rum chocolate that's made with chocolate that the pastry chef at the hotel blended themselves overseas. Like the type of stuff you're like, wait, what? It's not just a scoop of ice cream. They have this place, Stadium Club, which I did not go to because I hate sports, but it looks very cool. I was invited to go there and I was like, nah, dude, I'm not going to be in a football environment. But they have a lot of like simulators and golf simulators and zombie dodgeball simulators, stuff that if you're into that would be very cool. And it ends up, because I kept being like, wow, that's, you guys really like meet guests where they're at. It ends up, they're family owned. This hotel is family. Isn't that wild? I'm just kind of like, you're part of a conglomerate, surely. No, they're family owned. So they're able to just like kind of do whatever they want and get a lot more done. But if there is one thing you take away from this hotel, Please don't let it be that I destroyed one of the towels after washing my face after Frankenstein. I used three makeup wipes. I used three makeup wipes and still I got some on there. I'm really sorry. But if there's one thing you take away, even besides also the fact that I Googled the pricing while I was here, I didn't do it beforehand because I wanted to go in just not knowing anything, Googled the pricing and was gagged for what you would get for the price. The King Bedroom Suite for the price. I saw an under $200 rate, and I am shocked. Staying here is like truly the difference between staying at Disney or being able to pay for all of your Disney tickets with the price difference. Like, I will be coming back here the next time I have a solo work trip, mark my words. But the thing you gotta take away from Caribe Royale is that they have a Starbucks in the lobby. And oh no, this isn't a, we proudly serve Starbucks. None of those lies. They have a full, beautiful Starbucks that looks like it was plopped here from like an airport or a mall, just blam, beautiful Starbucks. And they have mobile order, which means that you can hypothetically mobile order Starbucks without leaving property and then hop in a vehicle and go to a theme park. And that is the difference. You're saving time, you're saving money, and you're caffeinated and not mad at your family. And that is kind of all I look forward to on a trip. Like, that is really all that you need. Caribe Royale is a convention hotel, and I do want to flag that I was here when there was no convention happening, there's no event, and it was so chill. I'm sure it's a little different when there's a lot of people here, maybe there's like a dance competition, like I'm sure it is a very different vibe. So heads up, if you aren't here for something like that, look around and like try to find a time like I did, because you will feel like you are a VIP among nobody. The pool was so chill. Everything was so chill. So try to time it for that and you'll basically have the hotel to yourself, and it is rad. We spent some time at the pool. The weather didn't fully comply with our plans, but we had a cute little lunch. I got to drink out of a coconut, the highlight of any time I spend outdoors, period. And I caught wind from a follower on Instagram that the best place to take a nap is behind the waterfall. They have this gigantic waterfall at the pool. My body was just like, the waterfall. It was aghast in its beauty. And I'm envious. I wish I had time to nap behind there. It sounded, it's like the perfect white noise. It sounded so good. But I wasn't able to because we had more shenanigans to do. Sidebar, if you are traveling here with a family, they have a splash pad, which is next to a playground under a shade canopy. Okay. They get it here. They get it here more than even the theme parks do. We hung out at the pool and could not decide what we were going to do. My mom wanted to go to Magic Kingdom. I wanted to go to Animal Kingdom, and we were fighting about it. And I let the people decide, and they sided with me. Now, did I guilt them into it? Did I guilt trip everyone who follows me online? I sure did, but it was the right choice, and I knew it in my bones because we got there and everything broke our way. Flight of Passage was a 10-minute posted wait. They literally put a 1 and a 0 up on the board. There wasn't another 0 after it. It was like 10 minutes. Come on in. It's an open house. And I was walking the queue, like speed walking, being like, I did not see this in my future in any way. No way did I think I would be breezing on to Flight of Passage with my mom, the only thrill ride she has actually done and been okay with. We were able to do it together, which I, again, never. I thought we were going to like go on the safari and that's it. We were able to do that. We were able to walk right on to Navi River Journey. And then we got popcorn, duh. And then we finally made our way to the goal of the day, the safari. And there's not often many times where I go, I need to go on the safari today, but I felt it in my bones. That's why I was so adamant about Animal Kingdom. And I knew, I must have had a premonition, because it was the best safari I have ever been on in my entire life. It was so good that even our driver was like, yeah, this is not normal. It felt like if I had never been to Disney and I went on this safari with no context, I would be like, there's no way these animals are real. They're all animatronics. Because we saw everyone. I'm going to post a video, but like we saw every animal. A zebra walked in front of our truck and we just got to watch this. We walked along the zebras. Then I can't even believe this happened. This is a real bucket list moment that I never thought would happen to me. I've never seen a lion on the rock. I've toured the rock many times on the safari, Kilimanjaro Safaris at Disney's Animal Kingdom, toured the rock. And they're always like, oh, like sometimes a lion will be up there. And like, oh, they cool it so that it's refreshing for them. Never seen a lion. I saw three. I saw three lions. My mom just walked in. Mom, do you remember the lions? What? Remember the three lions? Yeah, of course. It was crazy. It was crazy. It was
amazing. It was the best safari. Like, I don't even think I can go back on the safari because it will never be as good. I will remember this forever. And I can't wait to show you all of the animals we saw. We, at this point, the park was closed. We puttered around the shops. Also, cramming a theme park in this tiny trip was wild. But we crammed it too. We did too. I'm doing like the Bob Iger Star Wars. We're building two. I'm doing like the two fingers right now. And by the way, Animal Kingdom closing time is really something. The waits are nothing. It's so chill. And I love that it closes at 6, which is not good. It needs to be stay open all night. But it's really nice that, like, I don't know, you can like get a lot done and then know that there's the promise of another park if you have a park hopper ticket. We were leaving and I booked an Uber and then I was like, wait, what if we add a little more chaos and we see what buses are there? And we walked over and of course, in the last spot, there was a bus to Boardwalk, Yacht, and Beach. And my thinking was already, I was like, okay, I know what I want to do at Epcot. I kind of want to go to the hotel and enter through the World Showcase instead of entering through the front because it'll be a longer walk. Like, my wheels were turning. And I ran to the bus, ran. And we got on the bus and we were able to be dropped at Yacht Club and then walk in, which was perfect because we entered Epcot from the back. We grabbed maple popcorn, which my mom wanted so badly. That was her, like, one food of yesterday that she desperately wanted. And we really were able to play it by ear. We walked through the UK, which we never do. We never go in those shops. I spritzed some perfume at the store on, and I, like, still smell like it. Like, I might have to buy it. It smells really good. It was, I don't like saying words. Pentaglions? I once said a British word once to a British person. They laughed in my face, and I will never forget it. I was a friend. It wasn't, like, a random person. So I'm a little nervous about saying things out loud, but I think it was Pentaglions. Anyway, the perfume, ooh, heaven. We went on Soarin', which was great. We don't often get to go together because of Pearl. She's not tall enough yet. So it was nice to do that. And then we were like beyond time of needing food. All I've had that day with in that afternoon since we had lunch was popcorn and sweet popcorn. So I, pretended I was going to eat a festival dish, but of course I ended up in Mexico Quick Service. La Cantina, my home. We grabbed a table and we were able to stay there during the nighttime show, which was actually so good. I keep conflating it in my brain with Harmonious, which I openly hated. I resisted that show because I've never properly reviewed this one. I just keep being like, oh yeah, I saw part of it. It rocked. Or like, oh, I saw a few minutes. It was cool. Or like, oh, I saw it as I was walking out. It really is spectacular. Why did I say I didn't like this? I never said I didn't like it. I was wrong. I was just conflating the two of them. I did say I didn't like Harmonious because that show stunk. Anyway, we had a really nice sit. We got to enjoy it. I got to see that like military grade fireworks thing that comes out at the end. There's like a microphone. It's like a stick and it's like, bah, 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 bah. It's like endless fireworks. That was wild. And we had a blast. My mom saw the show and was like, now this is worth the money. Like, she really was like, this makes an Epcot day. We walked around a little more. My mom went shopping. We made our way out. We made our way back to the hotel. And now I am in the room and about to close my laptop because I need to head to Gideon's and then to the airport. This was my wonderful 70-hour whirlwind of a trip to Caribe Royale. I had an excellent stay. If you have any questions about this hotel, I'm beyond happy to answer them. It really feels like, I found a secret. Like, oh, this is a great hotel that, like, I didn't know was not on my radar at all and will never not be on my radar going forward. Thank you to the Caribe Royale team for having me, for knowing I would love it. And making this a dream of a trip. Usually they would have been like, you're playing paddleboard from 11 to 12. At 12, you're going to go do this. Like, that's what a lot of times what PR people do. They didn't do this. They were like, go to the park, have fun, run around, tell people if you like it. And if you don't like it, okay. They didn't say that, but if I didn't like it, I would have told you. I would have told you. There is one thing I don't like, and there's like a perfume in the room. There's like a scent that right when you walk in, you're like, ah, but we've been here for a while now and I don't smell it anymore. So it's not really bothering me. But originally I was like, oh God, it was a strong scent. That is my only complaint. Thank you to everyone for listening. I gotta go to the airport. Love you. Bye.
Hi, Carly. This is Julie calling from Delaware. I had to pause the episode of the podcast ranking the theme park because yes, Hollywood Studios absolutely deserves a zero. I've never been to the Winchester Mansion, but I don't have to because I'm pretty sure Hollywood Studios is created by the same mad woman. Like, you open a door, nope, it's a staircase. Like, what? But what is that park? There's a few things about it that I like. Like, I love Mickey and Minnie's Railway. I actually do like the Carrot Cake Cookie, but Yeah, the rest is like super weird. So totally backing you up. A zero is, it might even be too high. Negative one. Okay, bye.
Thank you for this. Thank you for this call. And while I want to say that I appreciate you calling, this is a perfect phone call. Julie, you get it? You absolutely get it. I need to just very quickly yell at everyone who is not you. So Julie, chill out. Chill out for a few minutes. You are fine. What? Nobody called about my very aggressive episode, which either means Julie is the only person who called about that episode. We get more calls for episodes which are not as opinionated and intense. Okay. So I guess like, and people listened. Like I know people listened. I guess people must agree with me, which is very exciting that I said a lot of stuff I thought I was going to get screamed at for, and people agreed with me. We're all out here just ragging on Hollywood studios. We're never saying it out loud. Why not? I feel like California Adventure gets a lot of the like, California Adventure, bleh. Hollywood studios, people like really went quiet on that park after the first round of facelift happened. And now we're on the second round. Ugh. But like, I don't know why. I guess maybe we got it all out with the Muppets, but nobody, Julie, you're the only one. And I thank you for agreeing with me. Also, the Winchester Mystery House. It is like, what is going on in that park? It makes no sense. Some people texted and didn't reach out. They were like, yep, I'm right there with you. And like, yep, Magic Kingdom food. But wow, I really thought I was going to get some serious Star Wars stands screaming at me, banging down my virtual podcast door and really just like egging my house. None of that happened. None of my digital trees were TP'd. I am really blown away. I am glad we all agree. If I'm wrong, give me a call. But yeah, I didn't expect that ranking at all. It was a very fun episode to put together. But yeah, Hollywood Studios is like kind of a mess, and I think we need to talk about it more. Yeah, that's about all. Thank you. Thank you, Julie, for agreeing with me. Thank you for like walking in there and turning towards Toy Story, like always just puts a shiver down my spine. It's just like, what is happening? I don't understand. And I have like no true nostalgia for that park. And yet it still just kind of messes me up. Yeah, that's where I stand. I stand behind everything I said. Maybe I just upset people so much they stopped listening. I don't know. They listened, but I mean, they didn't call about it. Y'all okay? Just wanted to make sure. Everyone agrees with me. I mean, yeah, it is kind of universal that the Magic Kingdom food stinks and Hollywood Studios is a mess and they have the best themed restaurants, but there's really not much else redeeming them. Truly, the only thing I look forward to doing there is like a weird character meet and greet that feels very out of place. It's like in the bowels of the park, that Olaf meet and greet, and then the Mickey and Minnie one on the other side. It's like, where am I? You're like so indoors, you don't know which structure you're in. The park is disjointed, but they have fun dining. So they've got that going for them. And Fantasmic, even though it is weird, you can't see the water. Why can't you see the water? Why can't we see Fantasmic? Like, okay, I'm not gonna rehash the episode. Thank you for calling. And if you have any other thoughts, I want to hear them because I'm genuinely shocked that people were not calling for my head. Okay, love you all, but not Hollywood Studios. I love everything but Hollywood Studios. Okay, bye. That's our show! Thank you all for listening to this episode, for going on this wild, wild whirlwind of a journey along with me. Thank you to Caribe Royale for making all of this happen. I truthfully, wholeheartedly recommend it. And like, oh my God, if you're going on like a solo trip or a trip with a friend, like the hotel rooms are nice. The hotel rooms are nice. If you want your separate bedrooms, you got a villa. They got it all. I really genuinely love the hotel and I'm so grateful for them for making this happen. You can rate, review, and follow Very Amusing on Apple Podcasts and rate and follow us on Spotify. You can also give us a call whenever at 747-CHURROS. You can text us too, but I'm really slow to respond on texts just because I am. But if you want your question answered for real, give us a call. If you are thinking about planning a trip to Disneyland, Disney World, Royal Caribbean, Epic Universe, Disney Cruise Line, any and all of it, reach out to MEI Mouse Fan Travel. They help make this podcast happen. They will do their best to save you money on your trip, and they will handle all of the annoying work that it requires. It is truly a gift from the heavens. Travel agents, we love them. They do all the stuff we don't want to do, and they do it for free to you. So please reach out to MEI Mouse Fan Travel, mousefantravel.com/amusing. They will hook you up. Also, sometimes that URL doesn't work all the time. So if you run into any trouble, just tell them I sent you so that they know that you are one of the Very Amusing community and they will take very, very good care of you. You can follow me at Carly Wiesel across the internet. Join the FOMALY at facebook.com/group/CarlyWiesel. And subscribe to my Instagram, 99 cents a month, cheaper than cold foam. I will hook you up. It's actually what I learned, cheaper than protein. You can get 2 months of a bunch of nonsense from me for less than the price of one serving of protein cold foam. I think that's a pretty good deal. I mean, market rate, 8 weeks of me is the same as one glug glug of protein cold foam. Not bad. I don't think I price it as low as possible. So I don't think it's, I think that's a pretty good deal. I think it's a pretty good deal. Thank you so much for listening. See you real soon.
Great episode, honey. I loved it. I also love Disneyland. Disneyland was like the only park I went to as a kid. I have such great memories of the e-ticket books and the Penny Arcade and the submarine ride and the original Skyliner. It was so much fun. I also love to see the characters when I see them on like the teacup rides and other people are just going on the same ride. They're so fun. It's more intimate, I think, at the Disneyland one. But I also love Disney World. I love Epcot, my favorite ride. And Epcot is Soarin'. I love Ratatouille. I love Frozen. Those are my favorites. But I really like the popcorn more than anything in the world. And if you saw anything, I went to Canada, bought the maple popcorn, and I bought 3 boxes. And I remember walking around as we were rushing to a ride, and I said to you, oh, my God, look at that band they're playing. They're so good. And then we walked by the big ball, and I said, oh, my gosh, look at that band. They're so good. And I said, you know, maybe one time we'll just come here and relax and listen to music. Never going to happen, okay? We have so much on our plate, and we can't wait to do and see everything. It is so much fun. Animal Kingdom blew me away this time, and I can't talk about it yet. It'll be on next week's episode. Oh, it was so good. I also love more than anything recording with you. And let me tell you, I don't get a heads up on anything. This is spur of the moment. She does not tell me what we're going to talk about. You just say, okay, this is what we're doing, and that's it. It works out. It's so honest. It's so true. It's so real. I love that. Great episode, and can't wait till next week. I love you so much, Carly. I love you so, so much, Pearl. Bye-bye.